Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. The year that is coming is going to be a better one. And it's going to be a better one for you. In the name of Jesus. This morning I want to share very briefly with you the silent questions of destiny. The silent questions of destiny. These are questions that you must answer. These are questions that stand between you and the plan of God for your life, that which God is set to do. The reason why many have prophecies that never materialize, I want to share it with you today. Now, you can remember the scripture we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 to 14. So, I don't want to, as we were reading that scripture this morning, new light and illumination began to come. But I will not give in to it, because I want to walk with time. And I want to stay with my message. So, but wherever you are, I want you to open your ears, spiritual ears, and hear me. I shared with us some weeks ago that there are three phases in the life of a man. There are three phases in the life of any man that God has put his hand upon. The first phase is the stage of incubation. That is when God begins to speak to you. And that is when God begins to send people to you. They are giving you prophetic words. You are having dreams. God begins to order your steps. This is where it becomes clear to you that God is trying to do something with your life. Now, many of us are at this stage. Some of us are in between this stage and the second phase. The second phase is your season of manifestation. This is the season where you begin to respond in faith to the things that God has started speaking to you about. And please, I don't want you to, when I talk about your calling or your ministry, I don't just want you to think about being a preacher. I want you to think about what God said to you. Because not everybody is going to be a pastor. If everybody is a pastor, who will be the church member? But somewhere, there is a sphere of influence that God is going to give to you. Somewhere that you can reach nations for God. So the same rule that applies to the pastor will apply to you. And there are some of these questions that we don't know. But if you don't answer it, even God will not let you pass. When Jesus rose from the dead, he got to the gates of Zion. And he said, lift up your heads, O ye gate. And be lifted up. But you see, they didn't know him. That scripture in Psalm is a messianic psalm. They didn't know him. Because there's only one king of glory, and he's the man on the throne. Now, somebody comes from the other side and says, I am the king of glory. He comes in with a resemblance of what they know on the throne. And they say, there must be a mistake. Two people can't be sharing this kind of glory. So they spoke to him. And you notice when he got to the gates, he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the king of glory. So he called himself. Jesus called himself. Our Lord Jesus called himself the king of glory. But there's only one king. So the door spoke back to him. Who is this king of glory? There's only one. There's no Lord but God. Who is this king of glory? And then he answered back, the Lord who is strong and mighty. The Lord who is mighty in battle. He defined his ordination by his victory. Come on now. Jesus defined the weight of his ordination by what? By his victory. That means in the realm of the spirit, you are only known by the battles you won or by the battles you lost. And the next level that you come into is dependent directly on the kind of battles you want. So if you run away from battles, you really have no weight in the spirit. Even though you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you will still not be able to speak to certain doors and they will respond. So you have the phase where you begin to operate in the things that God has said to you. And then you have your retirement phase. In your retirement phase, it doesn't matter the vision you are seeing. Your time is up. It doesn't matter. So for those of you waiting for 45, 50 to step into what God said to you, a time is going to come. Even when you have the mind, your body cannot carry you again. So please, this thing applies to everybody. Whether you are called to the ministry of the world or you are God put you in a particular sector to do one or two things for him. For instance, if God sends you into the fashion world, you must take it seriously because right now, God's children, we don't even have clothes to wear again. It seems like when somebody tries to be decent, the person looks rough. I don't know if anybody understands. If you try to be decent, you're like, why is she like this? She's not looking smart. Because the world has redefined smartness. It has to be fitted. It has to be huggy. So, brothers, you know, it's unfortunate. This is the best time to be a woman. Because before you shout, even your pastor's wife is dressing like that. You understand? There are no fashion designers who see it as a ministry. And even when you try to do it, who will patronize you? See the way you are looking. People know you are a Christian just by looking at your dressing. Everything is just like that. There's one cloth we used to call bubu. Bubu in those days. If you don't know, you don't know. But if you know, bubu. And the thing is like that, bubu. Just, you know, hiding the glory of God upon your life. It's called bubu. In those days when brothers dress up, you know, it's called you wear baggy. You see, we don't want any mistake. We don't want the pastor to kneel down, then the trousers splits into two. So we need a lot of space. We dressed for our assignment. Huh? Now you cannot even preach because even your own clothes, whether you're a brother or sister, is a distraction to you. Not to talk of the other person. Let your moderation be known. Unto who? All men, not to God. God already knows your heart. But God says, if you don't consider men, you will be an hindrance to the work. So these are the days, though. There's nothing we can do. As a church, we have lost that ground. It takes a lot of energy to insist to be a priestess or a priest and to dress like one. You need a lot of guts. Because it doesn't come cheap anymore. People will label you. Questions of destiny. These are questions that if you are able to answer them, and you are able to interpret those seasons properly, you may not stay too long in a particular level. I don't know if anybody is hearing me now. Everybody that is in this room, and those who are listening online, has been called to a particular type of ministry. Everybody that is listening to me, there's something God will ask you about the day you see him. Unfortunately, God did not discuss with me when he was calling you. What I am supposed to do as your pastor is to help you find your path and push you there. I remember when the Lord called me to the prophetic ministry, I had a vision of the night. And in that vision, the Lord showed me the generation before us. And he showed me where certain things went wrong. And the Lord told me in very simple terms. He said, every generation that missed it, they didn't miss it because they didn't have the truth. Most of the time, false prophets were at once true prophets. Most of the times. Before they changed their name to Major and all those things, there was a time the gift was authentic. But because of the desire to blow, then another equation must be introduced. Because there are certain questions that if you cannot answer, you cannot blow as far as God is concerned. It will keep you at the backside. Those were some of the questions that David was able to answer. And those are the questions about four of them that I want to present to you. So after this service, you're going to take that message and you're going to listen to it again and digest it again. I pray that on the day that we see him, we will not be ashamed. Now, I want you to put this down. If the diary or the notebook in front of you is yours, I want you to write this down. Every calling is designed to fill a gap. Every calling, everything that God says to you about your banking business, career, your fashion business, your medical practice, God designed it to fill a gap. And to fill into God's ultimate plan of redemption. That is how serious the matter is. Listen to me, by the time the Lord laid his hand upon Paul the apostle, Paul was not a tent maker. He was a lawyer. He was a barrister at law. Sorry, I hope I'm not too dull for you. Because the way he's doing you is not the way it is. I'm really struggling to keep my voice at a frequency. But you see, when Paul began to do ministry, he realized that if he was going to survive, he can't just be going to court every day. So he went to learn how to make tent. Meanwhile, look at Peter. God took the sheep, that sheep he was using for business. God collected it from him before the ministry started. Please hear what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is that God, the calling is going to be the same. But the way God may choose to approach your calling and assignment with you can be very different from the brother sleeping on the same bed with you. So to now build your calling, because there is a major one sleeping on the same bed with you and you are trying to understand your calling from his lenses. No. What you need to do is to learn as much as you can and discern the one that is yours. Please hear me in the spirit. When I was in that vision, the Lord said that the prophetic call over your life is to point men back to the true God. That's what he said to me. He said the demand of your prophetic call is to call men's attention back and point them back to Jesus. He said if you do that, you've done the job. Not to prophesy. Are you hearing me now? I said not to what? Not to prophesy. So the prophecy is just like a basic software that comes with the calling. Finacle 12.0, FlexCube 7.1 or 7.2. What they're using now? What other softwares do we use now? What they're using in your bank? Petra, are you? Fitra. So all those contraptions, Phoenix, all those contraptions, they are foundational. But there is something God wants to see. That if I allow you minister to somebody consistently, what I want to measure is that person seeing Jesus or is he seeing man? At the end of that day, with that person's decision rest on his sight, his ability to see God and see what he's doing part time, or is he someone that will always need to see man before he sees God? So when I see him, it is based on that conversation we are going to check my scorecard. As far as being a prophet is concerned. But as being a pastor is a different thing. There's another mandate. So for those of you who want to be apostle, I wish you good luck. Because it's a calling. It's a calling. So every calling is designed to fill into a particular gap. Whether it's as a music minister, you must know God's expectation of what you are doing. So that when somebody asks you to shift the goalpost, you can refuse. Number two, every genuine calling emanates from God. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. Galatians 1:15. I read, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You see, when it pleased God, every genuine calling emanates from God. Every genuine calling emanates from God. Whether you God called Elisha by using Elijah, whether God spoke to Elijah directly, but the source, the foundation of that that operation must be that God called me. If you cannot get to that point, you will not be able to answer some of these questions when we get there. Number three, every calling has a timeline. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Every calling has what? Has a timeline. Look at Paul here. He said, I have fought a good fight and I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. So there is a time in your life. No, it's not like you want to die, but you will know, just the way you know your faith in a particular place has ended. Paul said, I have fought the fight. There is no point trying to pray and say, don't die. The task is done. Do you understand what I'm saying? I remember ministering to a lady who had very serious problems. She came all the way from Ogun State to see me in Lagos. She had very serious problems. And I looked at her. You see, if you have been going from prophet to prophet or from deliverance to deliverance, you may not really appreciate some things. So I decided that instead of praying for her and allowing her to vomit in my parlor, because some people just enjoy it. Some demons love drama. You know? Like I used to say to my daughter, you are just a drama queen. Some demons love attention. The moment they see you giving them, they start misbehaving to distract you. So I spent 3 hours talking to her so that I would just pray for 15 minutes. And I didn't touch her. I just prayed a simple prayer. And the next day, she started seeing results. But you see, I also knew I didn't have all the time to spend with her, which was what necessitated my spending time to explain certain things to her. Only for her to call me like a month ago and began to say, oh, you know, can you raise your prayer team for me? I said, no. Can you pray for me? I said, no. I can't breathe. Congratulations. She said, but why? You. I said, I warned you to stay away from false prophets. She said, he came to my house. Must you open your door? If a false prophet comes out, it's just like Jehovah's Witness now coming to your house. And then you open the door and say they should come in. Meanwhile, you know that they will not start with prayer. Anybody can preach for 3 hours. Let us pray and see. It's not about carrying awake. You may be asleep. I just want to share. Okay, before we share, let's pray. Somebody, I heard somebody saying, from the days they knew Pastor Chris Oyakhilome from campus, if he was not in class, he was praying. You see, this 2021 we are talking about, it is the power you generate personally in the spirit that will answer for you. People can only help you thus far, but there are certain decisions only you can make. And a time will come, your time will be up, and you will know that your time is up, and there's nothing you can do. It's just like Samson now wanting to fulfill his ministry after his eyes has been taken out. Time is up. So the only thing he can do is to make one last attempt at the cost of his own life. The thing about the timing is that only God knows. And you may not even know until the final few minutes. Please pay attention to your calling. Many of us are saying, God, when will I enter into my destiny? God is laughing because he's looking at you already there. You don't even know. You see, this thing you are doing now, this question you are asking, is part of these questions when they played back your video. It was the questions you were asking. People are waiting to start, not knowing the journey started 5 years ago. What you should be asking is, where am I in your program? What time is it? So that you know whether it's sleeping time or praying time. I don't know if anybody's hearing me. Come on now, are you hearing me? Aha. Number four. Every calling has at least 7,000 people attached to it. Every calling has at least 7,000 people. That thing that you say God told you, he told 7,000, at least. Why does God do that? To deal with the risk of abortion. To deal with the potential for loss. If you are into fashion, you notice that no matter how complete a material is, you cannot use everything. You will cut some out, you will cut some out. Those pieces, they are not waste. Somebody will come one day and needs to mend his trousers, and you use some of those pieces. Huh? That's the way it is. When God said to his prophet, there are 7,000 people, even when it has to do with marrying, there are at least 7,000 people that could have married your wife. They were praying for you to fail so that they could come in. Why men fail? It's not usually because of the anointing. It's because they fail the test of character. Like this complaining, you are complaining. You are failing the test of character. You don't know. You see, if you knew it was an exam, you would have behaved properly. But because the exam was happening at the back and you didn't know, you were behaving like yourself and they were marking you 0000. Come on. Every calling has at least, how many people? 7,000. So if Elijah decides to retire, God already has Elisha, he has Jehu, he has other people. So please take your calling seriously. And you need to be able to identify where in your journey exactly are you. This is so important. Number five. What's number one? Every calling is designed to fill a gap. That means God never calls anybody until he sees a need. Do you understand? He sees it. For instance, we have churches everywhere in Lagos. Maybe you live around Ogba or somewhere. How many churches can you recommend to anybody in your area that you know of? That you are sure that they will be trained and developed there? You see, but there are churches there. Sorry, David, in your area, can you give me the names of three churches that you can recommend for anybody in that area? That if you go here, they will train you spiritually, you'll be okay. Do you know three names? Huh? Deeper Life. Do you see that it is wrong for you to assume that simply because there are churches everywhere that things are happening? Do you know that everybody is doing live stream now? Facebook, prayer, everything. That's how they started in the days of Bishop Oyedepo. Everybody was doing stuff, whatever it is. People were writing books, printing magazines. That's how they were doing it. But over time, water began to find its level. When we say that you need to pay personal attention and be jealous over your destiny, it is because very soon water will find its level. And many of the people you are seeing today, they will wither away. The grace to last long and to tarry is to wait on God like an eagle. Because for everybody that God calls, there are at least 7,000 viable replacements. Come on, say, God will not replace me. Now say it again, God will not replace me. Jesus, our Lord Jesus said, if these children refuse to praise me, these stones. You remember? He said these stones. He didn't mean those stones. What he was telling is that I will use people you despise, insignificant things. I will use them to declare my praise so that you'll be ashamed. Catherine Kuhlman, the Lord said that the calling that was given to her was first given to a man that failed. So God gave Catherine Kuhlman a destiny that was meant, crafted for a man. But there were people preaching everywhere, but God only found a woman worthy. In the days of Deborah, there were people carrying swords and discussing in council meetings. I'm telling you how important your destiny is. That the moment God decides to go with you to be, everybody will have to align. Everybody. Are you hearing something? I said the moment God settles for you, everybody, including those that don't like your face, they will have to align. What's the second point I gave you? Every true calling emanates from God. Number three, every calling has a timeline. There's a time that God has apportioned for that ministry to be done. If you spend your time preaching or praying or sleeping, when God expects you to be on the field, your time is ticking. So you cannot start your calling by waiting on the Lord and by fasting. Then you now get to a particular point, you now turn off your phone so that God won't be able to call you. You are going to get stranded because the moment there is radio silence, they assume the agent has been killed in battle. Huh? If you watch all those commando films, all those military special forces, the moment they cannot get the chip that is in your body to respond, all those sci-fi films, they say he's dead. What's the other point I gave you? Every calling has at least 7,000 people marked for it. So when God called you, that day you had that dream, that day God spoke to you, there were 7,000 people that heard what you heard. In this kingdom, overtaking is allowed. You better be wise. The day that Elijah complained was the day God replaced him. I said the day that Elijah complained was the day that God said, anoint Elisha in your stead. So that period, till the day Elijah was taken away, Elijah was only left there to train him. Are you hearing me now? You will not be replaced in Jesus' name. Number five, you may receive a full revelation of your calling, but your understanding will be progressive. You may receive a full revelation. You may have an 18-hour vision. Some may even have 24 hours. Why praying and fasting? The Lord opened your eyes and you saw yourself in Atlanta, Georgia, and you built a 3,000 cathedral. Praise God. Aha. So you may see a very elaborate vision. But you see, there are many things about your visions that will only be released in understanding in snippets. You just get it like, oh, God will just cause you to remember that day. But if you try to interpret that dream or vision before the time, you will make error. You will enter into error or you'll be confused. And that's why I say to you, when you receive a revelation from God, the first thing is to pray, the second thing is to document, the third thing is to hang it there. If the Lord tells you that the woman you're going to get married to is going to be slim and light skinned, and then just as you are coming out of your room, Fatima walked in. You say, we have not even finished praying. The prophecy is already speaking. There's a way we say it in CAC, but you won't understand. You won't appreciate it, so I won't go there. Say, this calling is speaking by itself. So you just like, wow. But you see, every prophetic word we attract warfare. The chances are that the first thing that you saw is not it. Because when the boy that they first brought to Samuel came, God said it's not the one. It is only in rest you can fully articulate where God is standing. Only in rest. The moment you are agitated in your mind, have you ever been an exam and you became apprehensive and you started getting all OBJ, objective question, you started ticking the wrong things. You started writing rubbish because you just realized that you wrote 3 pages on the compulsory question and you wrote rubbish. So you are now panicked. You have just 30 minutes to go. How do I cancel that page and start afresh? That panic, you just start writing rubbish. And that's why I say to you, my brethren, it's not in the Bible. Once you write an exam, don't wait. Go home. That's when you see Chike and Tunde. They'll say, oh, did you get... It's square root of 2. You see, you got it. Does it? Yeah. The moment you can't get involved in discussion, we know you got it wrong. You got 4. The answer is 2. You see, you know, you see what happened. You see, initially, I was doing it. Then I realized, no. And I now remember that thing we discussed. You see, so I now apply that rule. The thing, I said, oh. We are 3 talking. My brother, whether you are right here or not, you failed it. Because the teacher that will mark that script is not in that meeting. We don't read intentions in paper on your script. with everybody meant to do well. You understand? Nobody came to the exam hall to fail. You see, but we don't mark intentions. We mark what you wrote. Say, dear sir, I cover my script with the blood of Jesus. Help me, sir. God will bless you. It's the same thing in life. Oh. People are expecting God to understand their intentions. God is looking at what you wrote. You have to be careful. It is only in rest. When you rest in him, trusting him, that if he spoke to you, he will come back to redeem what he said to you, such that he will never leave you stranded if his word is over your life. It is only in that you can rest and resist the temptation to be pressured. You may receive a full revelation at once, but the understanding will be gradual. Now, let me talk to you about the four questions of destiny. My time is up. The first question that God wants you to answer when he wants to relate with you is the question of ownership. Who owns you? I'm talking to you about why many people never show up eventually. They had a calling, but they could not pass the test of ownership. People got anointed, and then they tried to accumulate the glory of God to themselves. Even our Lord Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not take glory to himself. I hope you know the Holy Spirit doesn't take glory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What I'm saying to you, it is wrong for you to say, Holy Spirit, I give you the glory. He doesn't take it. Emike, don't move back. Jesus said he will ascribe it to him. The glory goes to the one who sends you. And Jesus said, I am sending you the Holy Ghost. So you can appreciate the Holy Spirit. You can praise him. You can worship him. But you can't give him the glory. Jesus said he will not receive glory to himself. He's a messenger. The question of identity. Acts chapter 27 and verse 23. Acts 27. Please quickly. Acts 27, 23. Look at this. For this is Paul speaking. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and what? Whom I serve. There's no question in whatever form that negates this reality. We all belong to God. But have you come to that experiential knowledge of that reality? Where you now see your life not as an extension of, I have gone to school. You are interpreting your life like, okay, I was in the UK, I was in the US, or my life, my future is in Canada. You come to the place where you see that wherever he places you is good enough for you because he owns you. God will not release loose cannons. Do you know what a loose cannon is? Do you know what a stray bullet is? A man that has no identity is like a stray bullet. He won't save, he will kill. With a little glory, he will start, he will associate everything God with miracles. The devil works miracles. The question of identity. Very important. You must answer that question. And these questions will not be answered in one day. God will allow you pass through certain situations. He will allow you pass through certain situations to bring you to that spot where, like Moses, you can now lift your hands at the backside of the desert and say, you still insist that I am the one, but I am a stammerer. You see, you get to that point in your journey and you're like, God, it is not about how I feel, but the fact that you want this thing done, and because I belong to you. And that's why, like our Lord Jesus Christ, I say, if you have known my Father, you would have known me. That's why everyone who asked Jesus, are you the Messiah? You notice he didn't give them straight answer. Did you notice? Every time the Pharisees asked him, are you the one? He never answered them. Go and check your scriptures. Because if I answer that question, I won't help you. The only way to know who I am is to see by revelation what I represent. So if you don't see my Father, you cannot even see me. You can't believe in me. Say, Master, Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. That was Philip. And the Lord said, have you been with me this long and not known that I am in the Father and he is in me? It is the question of ownership that now tells you how you can dress. Because you now know that your body, soul, and spirit belongs to somebody. It's not that you cannot wear what you like, but you are under government. You are not like everybody. When you, who are those guys that wear the white uniform? Is it Navy or Air Force? Navy. There can be no excuse for why there is a stain. You see, it is white for a reason. Pure. You may not know how to do anything in the military, but your uniform must be starched. Abina, it's not like those ones that we wanted to send away, those NSAS people. Have you seen policemen who dress well and you just admire them? It's once in a while. Because they don't give them money for soap. They buy their boots. They buy their dark goggles. The only thing that is free is a gun. Kill them. But you see a military man, you wonder when he has the time to be starching. It's always pam, pam, pam. The question of ownership is a question that you will need time to answer. It's not a one-day thing. You can say it in one day, but you must travel with the Lord until that thing is ingrained into your spirit. The second question, the question of your silent years. The question of your silent years. After David was anointed by Samuel, he did not become king immediately. Do you understand? He went back to take care of the sheep. There are those moments you go into a meeting, nobody knows who you are. Oh, I want to appreciate Pastor Raphael from Canada. I want to appreciate. And then they get to you, they say, and that our brother sitting there. This is a Jew. Say, that our brother, I don't know you, but God knows you. It's the season of your life where somebody will come to you and ask, are you the PA of the man of God? You say, no, I'm the man of God. You say, hey, look at you. Like when my pastor got to, is he on the chair or somewhere? He went to preach and he wore bowler hat and t-shirt. And the people said, they've heard so much about it. They said, are you the PA of Prophet Ayo? He said, yes. So they were waiting for Prophet Ayo to come down from the plane. So he's waited for them. Then they came back and said, where is this happy one? They wanted to see a man in bishopric covering. But you see, there are things we do. Those silent years are the years of your making. They are the years that God protects you. The God begins to deal with your heart. He tells you that you must love the sheep, if not, you can't love the people. It's the days of little beginning. It's the day of failures. It's the day of tears. Those are the days when you'll be asking God, are you sure you still want me to do this thing? I don't feel like I'm the kind of guy you need. There, no matter what you do, even if you do program and invite all the big, big men of God, it will be your silent years. God will not allow that trumpet to sound because he needs to protect you. There were people that entered the limelight too soon and the thing destroyed them. The first man God created didn't know what it means to grow up. He met himself as a man. It didn't last. It didn't last. You must value the season of your silent years. Those days when God keeps you deliberately and you are asking, God, how long? How long? And he says, just be patient. The day God releases you is the day you now say, I embrace this. If this is my calling, I embrace it forever. Then God says you are ready. As long as you still the ginger, as long as you are still saying, I must manifest. The fact that you are impatient means you've not graduated that class. Come on now, can you hear me now? The question of your silent years, this is a season where you will not know, you will not be known no matter what you do. Like that pastor that was asking me, he said, can't you see in my eyes that I'm a man of God? I said, I can't see anything. Me, I'm just trying to win souls. Everybody you see that suddenly became popular, they've been at that phase for years. And this is what the Lord said to me a few weeks ago. The Lord said to me, between the age of 12 and 30, 18 years, I was kept under covering by God, by the Father. There was nothing our Lord did that God made noise about until he was 30. So God is now asking me, why do you think I'll be in a hurry with you? Do you understand what I'm saying? God was asking me if I did this to my own son, so that I don't want us to be going over this stage again. I kept him for 18 years, for 3 years' work. Why do you think I will be in a hurry to use you? These are the questions of silent years. If you don't answer them, you will accumulate prophecies, but nothing will happen. Number three. The question of your identity. Those are questions you must answer. The question of your identity. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, 15, our Lord Jesus said, who do men say that I am? You see, he knew who he was, but he wanted to be sure that they were getting the right perspective of who he was. Just the way many of you are here now, people don't really know who you are. Who do men say I am? Go to verse 13. Say, who do men say that I am? Verse 13. He said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, have? Yeah, it's a question. If you don't answer this, if you don't define who your identity is, this is when you come into a place and you say, look, I am a child of God. I am the Son of God. I am ordained as a prophet. I am who God says I am. And I owe nobody explanation for that. It takes you a while. One of my sons, he calls himself my son anyway. Because these days, you don't even know who is who no more. I saw a flyer with his name on it. And it was addressed as apostle. So I sent him a message. I said, you are an apostle now. He said, no, sir. No, sir. I said, so this, he said, it's a mistake. I said, go and remove that rubbish. These are your silent years. What are you looking for? That they organized a meeting and invited you doesn't mean they should give you what is not yours. I say, even if you're an apostle, use something like quiet, like pastor. It's quiet. There's nothing wrong in bearing the title of apostle if you are called. But have you passed your silent years? Have you gotten to the place where your identity became clear to you? Don't let people give you what's not your own. If you're an apostle, fine, but I know you're not an apostle, so remove that rubbish. Things we do that distract us from our calling. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm not against you bearing the title of an apostle. But if you are someone that I mentor, I will not allow you to take it. Until I know that thing is you, it won't destroy you. Even when I go out to people and they say, that's a pastor. When I say, how are you? My name is Benga. There's no prophet in the book of life. It's a great apostle, senior prophet, major one. Benga, Shafet. You won't see that rubbish. If your calling is truly clear to you, why will you need a major to add to it? The question, oh God, the question of identity. Stay away from this, where God refines you, reveals to you who you are. People may not see it, but God may look at you like a prophet. He will be looking at you like an apostle. Meanwhile, you are just a mother who has children and you are trying to love your children. But God has seen that in the next few years, Deborah will arise in the nation and be different. But be satisfied with who God has made you. The question of your identity. Many times this question takes years before you can even comfortably say, this is who I am. Are you hearing me? I say it takes years. Many times you now realize people are calling you prophet, but you didn't know you have moved to that level. You see, you are just walking with the Lord. Every time God reveals himself to you, he reveals more of you to you. And that's why, as we start this fasting and prayer, tomorrow morning around 9 a.m. we'll come online on Mixella only. We're going to pray. Pray in tongues. So please, wherever you are, plug in. Finally, the question of time. This is the last question among so many that I can cheat now. These are the silent questions. Do you know why I call them silent? Because when these questions are being asked, you may not hear a voice. You may not even know that anything is happening to you. I don't know if you can hear me. I said when you are this question, that's why I call them silent questions. When God begins to pass you through that phase, all you'll be seeing is the challenges you are going through. You may not even know that God was talking to you through that challenge. What's the final stage? What did I mention at the final stage? The question of time. Can you wait till I am ready to release you? That's the question. Can you wait till I am ready to release you? I know I said I will release you, but can you wait for my command? Or you saw your friend, Brother Desmond, he went to start cathedral. You saw this one, then you two went to buy land. Can you wait for me to release you? The reason why many ended early is because they didn't start because he said start. They went on their own. This phase is very significant because it requires discipline. Discipline. This phase requires what? Discipline. To restrain yourself when others are trying to get out. To restrain yourself simply because he said, wait here. Apostle Suleiman said when God told him to start the church, God sent him to Auchi. All his friends moved to Lagos. Some moved abroad. He's just 49 years old now. He has churches in over 60 countries from that village. The members of the church are even more than the people in the village. Can you wait? Can you judge him faithful? That if he said wait, he will not forget you then. Can you judge him faithful? That if he says wait for me to bring your husband, that you are sure you will go and sleep, knowing that that thing he said, he will not forget. This issue of time is what ended the ministry of Saul, King Saul. The prophet said, wait till I come. The prophet said what? Wait till I come. But because of the voice of men, he could not restrain himself. He decided to step. And as he stepped out, Samuel said, you've lost your kingdom. They didn't even give him chance. They didn't give him an opportunity to correct himself. He just said, this thing you have done, you have lost the kingdom. What imparts jurisdiction to you is time. What imparts authority to you, the ability to say go and they go, is time. What separates the boys from the men is the ability to restrain gratification. Time. Time. Rise to your feet. In our second service, we are going to go into the glory. We're going to stay on the Lord. And I'm going to be preaching about the glory is here. As second service. But please, I want you to take these four questions and go and sit with them. And be honest with yourself. And ask yourself, which of these four questions have I answered correctly? What is the first question? The question of ownership. To validate your ownership, whose voice do you need to hear? The voice of God. What's the next question? The season of silent years. The days of anonymity. The days where no matter what you do, you will not be known. Who determines when that season is over? Come on. Who determines when that season is over? Now, what is the third question? The question of identity. Say, let us make man in our own image. Who determines who you really are? Fourth question. Question of time. The God, there is a God who created time, but is not bound by it. Is the God that said, now is the set time to favor Zion. Yet the set time has come. Who is in charge of Kairos and Kronos? Kairos is the divine season of God, divine timing. Chronos is chronology. That means the season when the divine and the material matches together. What this message is about today, if you want to do God's will, God's way, God must take the center stage. Father, I pray for your people in the name of Jesus, that this word will go into their heart. It will bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100 in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, you will find us faithful in that you have committed into our hands. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.